540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago, where the planes are flying into and out of the area again after earlier ground stops due to at least 8 reported tornadoes. The National Weather Service has confirmed one twister near O'Hare Airport, where Indianapolis CBS TV affiliate reporter Hannah Fullman was on a plane waiting to take off for London.
We actually had already boarded the airplane before the tornadoes were in the area, and we all sat down and the flight attendant came on and said, "We're all seated, we're ready to go, we're going to try to beat the weather." And she was really excited about it. And then 2 minutes later, she came back on kind of a little panicked and said, "Everyone get your belongings. We need to get off the plane immediately." And it was just a rush.
20 miles south of O'Hare, Suburban Lions Fire Chief Gordon Nord says tornado sirens were activated 3 times.
We were at the firehouse watching it approach, and it looked very nasty. You could see debris floating around in the clouds. And then all of a sudden, we started getting the calls.
CBS's Omar Villafranca is in Phoenix, Arizona, one of many cities in the Southwest expecting another day of dangerous triple-digit temperatures. This after 12 straight days of at least 110 degrees.
To give an idea how hot it gets, the coolest part of the day is typically right before the sun rises. Well, the temperatures at that time are already in the 90s, and the excessive heat warning is in place until at least next week.
President Biden, before leaving the NATO leaders' summit in Vilnius, Lithuania, made this promise about NATO support for Ukraine as it fights the Russian invaders.
"Our commitment to Ukraine will not weaken. We will stand for liberty and freedom today, tomorrow, and for as long as it takes."
Mr. Biden is now in Finland for another summit. North Korea has revealed that its latest missile test conducted a day earlier involved a solid-fuel intercontinental ballistic missile potentially able to threaten the U.S. Reporter Alex Jensen in Seoul.
State media images show leader Kim Jong-un overseeing this first North Korean ICBM test since April, and its longest ever in terms of duration, suggesting it could have reached anywhere on the U.S. mainland. And Kim was quoted as saying the North will launch a stronger military offensive if the U.S. and South Korea don't abandon hostilities.
Striking entertainment writers chose to picket in front of the Amazon studios in California during the company's big Prime Day shopping event. They could soon be joined by the Actors Union if SAG-AFTRA doesn't get a contract by midnight Pacific time. This striking writer says,
"They're hungry to join, all the ones that have been there, so I imagine it will just bring out more power and it will embolden us and just give us a lot more like a fresh breath of like solidarity."
This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Top On Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
This is a scam, and Tucker Carlson is one of the guys. He's one of the guys who said the election was stolen, Dominion voting machines are no good, on the air, but in the background, he's going, "This is insane. This is a load of bull." The guy lies for a living. He lies with a straight face.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio. Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens. And Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high-quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee public schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. The most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. And you've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shying to me with, I don't know how I'd rule. I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4. On the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
...of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand
up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
The Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
I didn't quite hear that. I think you were muted. What could you say that
Am
again?
I really?
Yeah, you aren't now.
Okay. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Awesome. Hey, we have Dr. Stately on today, and we also have our special opening here from the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, Governor Evers. Why don't we take a quick listen?
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Last week, I signed the 2023-25 biennial budget the legislature sent to my desk while using my veto pen to make substantial improvements and investments in K-12 education. Building on our historic progress and fully funding our public schools, this budget, together with legislation I recently signed, provide an overall increase of nearly $1.2 billion in spendable authority for our public school districts, including state categorical aids. That includes a $325 per pupil increase in revenue limits and an increase in the low revenue ceiling from $10,000 to $11,000 per pupil. This is the largest increase in statewide revenue limit authority since revenue limits were first imposed on K-12 schools in 1993, and it is permanent and base building. As a result of my partial veto to this provision, school districts will have continued additive per pupil revenue adjustments of $325 every year for the next 400 years, providing local schools the budgeting certainty they need well into the future. I'm also proud this budget invests $97 million to increase special education reimbursement rates, $50 million to improve reading and literacy outcomes, and $30 million to continue funding for school-based mental health for our kids. This budget is an important step towards meeting our ultimate goals for our schools and our kids, but we can and should do more. We must continue our work to prioritize school funding during this biennium and into the future. We have work left to do, but I will never stop fighting to do the right thing for our kids, because what's best for our kids is what's best for our state. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, Pina Gigi, Governor, always great news. And welcome, Dr. Stately. Dr. Stately is the CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota, on the beautiful Franklin Avenue. And it's amazing what the governor did there with education for the next 400 years. Just a little editing with the pen and outsmarting his opponents. So I just have to give the governor of Wisconsin a big kudos there. Welcome, Dr. Stately. We haven't seen you in a while. It's good to see you.
Yeah, it's been a while. A couple weeks, I think, probably. Took a little hiatus for, that one day of July.
Yeah. Yes, the day before big swearing-ins at Ho-Chunk Nation, we have a new president and a couple new legislators, so that was exciting the day after, and I like that shirt. I'm going to have to borrow that.
Oh, yeah, I have a new shirt. It's very large. It says, I didn't realize how big the graphic was. It takes up my whole entire chest.
That's right. And yeah. Lip big to be big.
But it's true. We are now native lands, so yeah. Sure.
Yes, we are. And we joke about the last holiday that we were off, the 4th. But, hey, I just want to, before we get into that, I just want to congratulate you. I saw that you got another blanket added to your collection, and people were honoring you.
Yes, true.
And I can't wait to go to garage sales and pick one of those blankets up that you have, all those blankets that people have given you over the years. But no, maybe just tell our audience, too, in all seriousness, the significance of that and what we were celebrating.
Sure. Well, I was delighted to be honored for, I think the achievement was, the award's around here somewhere. I should probably look at it. still in the box, actually. I was honored by the staff and some of the board for Seven Directions, which is a research Indigenous research center at the University of Washington in Seattle. It's focused on Indigenous public health. And I believe the award was the inaugural award. So this is their first year having this conference, and that was the first time they're giving the award. It was for community service and public health. So a recognition of like the work that NAC has done in the public health space, specifically in response to COVID, but also in response broadly to the other public health emergencies that are kind of inherent right now in our community, or like got a grip on our community, which is that trifecta of substance use, opiate use disorder, infectious disease, HIV and hepatitis C, and houselessness, kind of like the intersection of like where NAC does its work.
So, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
pretty honored to get that. It was nice.
All seriousness, congratulations. I saw that and I was like really proud to be your friend and know you. And we have a lot of white allies and listening to us. Give the significance of not only the award, but a blanket given to somebody. And I know there's different ways of doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Nations, and that's kind of a cool little thing to talk about.
Yeah. Well, honestly, it was like the first time I've been given a star quilt or a blanket. So I got a star quilt actually on that Tuesday morning for giving a talk. I gave the keynote address on the opening conference day about culturally centered, like the journey that NAC has taken to culturally center its traditional healing program and its spiritual care services within our medical clinic and our primary care clinic. So across all of our service sectors and building out a traditional healing program, which I'm pretty proud of. But the significance of getting a blanket is, it's a way that community sort of demonstrates its gratitude and its support to you for the work that you do. I think it's also a recognition of, contribution that you've made to the community, and just kind of a big thank you.
Congratulations.
It was a humbling experience. I didn't expect to get it. So
I could see that in the picture, you were really happy and surprised. It was a good look for you. The person that took that picture really caught the moment. And again, I'm really grateful to be your friend. And that's just good to see people like you getting your work recognized and in the community, and also with what's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, I think what was beautiful about the conference was it was a national conference, and it was held right here in the South Metropolitan area at the Shakopee Mitawakin Sioux community. And it was just, it is a national conference where they pulled together a number of places that do public health service in tribal communities. And it was just kind of nice to be among all these people from all across Turtle Island, and to be able to speak with them and also sort of be in their influence as well. So, great experience.
Hey, why don't we take a quick break here? We're with Dr. State Lee here, the President and Executive Officer of Native American Community Clinic, and we're going to take a short break.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Even though the public COVID-19 emergency might be over, it's still important to stay up to date on vaccinations. And if you're like most people, you probably need a refresher on who should get vaccinated and when. So here's the bottom line. If you're 6 years or older, aim for that one updated COVID-19 vaccine. It doesn't matter if you've had a previous vaccine or not. You're still in the game. Now, if you're 65 or older, you've got the green light for one extra dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Just wait 4 months after your first updated dose, and you're good to go. And for the little ones, children between 6 months and 5 years may need multiple doses, including at least one of the updated vaccines, based on their age and previous doses. Remember, always stay informed and reach out to healthcare professionals for personalized guidance. Didn't catch all of that? You can find all of the updated COVID vaccine information at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. And we're here with the CEO and president of Native American Community Clinic, Dr. State Lee. And Dr. State Lee, great again to have you on. It's been a while. And I really, I think the last show we did was pretty emotional for me. And It was a good talk, and just about things, and I appreciate that. I wanted to say that, and so you have a lot to live up to this show.
Thank you. My dog.
The dog agrees, and I know my cat agrees, and she'll be in here soon. Oh, my dog agrees. too. So we're having a barking party and a meowing party here on Native Roots Radio. Ho!
Yeah, he's coming in early. You thought it was his time to howl.
Yeah. Tell him that's wrong, the fourth.
Fourth, yeah, exactly. Fourth wrong segment. Segment. Oh, man. There's a very ambitious guy like exercising and jumping up and down and doing calisthenics. So I don't think he knows what to do about that. Hold on.
All right. Well, hey, Haley, that gives us kind of an opportunity to talk about what's happening at All My Relations this week. And now my dog's barking. And I'm wondering if you could take it over here for a second while I let the dog out of the studio here.
Yes. So All My Relations Arts is having their new exhibit, I want to say. I don't want to butcher this pronunciation, but I'm pretty sure it is Inde Wissangadam, which means my heart hurts. And this is happening from July 14th to September 9th. And the Native American Community Development Institute, which also we talk about a lot on here, NACDI, and All My Relations Arts are pleased to present this solo show by Laura Youngbird. My Heart Hurts is a collection of multi-layered, multi-faced monotype prints from artist Laura Youngbird, who is Minnesota Chippewa Grand Portage Band. And she uses her dresses as a metaphor. Her work addresses a wide range of social issues, injustices, and biases.
Yeah, that's exciting. And the grand opening is this Friday. And unfortunately, I'm going to be out of town. We'll be in New York, Wendy and I, and taking a little break and maybe having a celebrating our anniversary again, maybe catch a play or something in the city. But it's well worth everyone. Excuse me a second here. I had to clear my throat. It's well worth everyone to stop at All My Relations, which is hooked up to the powwow grounds there, and get a cup of coffee and go to this great event. And we got Dr. Stately back, and Dr. Stately was really funny. I don't know how this happened, but my dog started barking at the same time, so I had to hand it over to Haley.
Yeah. Maybe my dog triggered your dog. So
sacred dogs are probably speaking say, like, over.
Yeah, exactly.
Over Facebook.
They thought they were part of a three-part harmony or something.
Exactly. Of course they won't haul when we want them to. Of course they won't haul when we want them to, Dr. Stately.
Yeah, not on cue, which is really tragic, because he does have a good howl. My sons get him to howl.
Yeah.
My sons will be like, start howling at them, and then pretty soon all three of them are howling together, and he has this like thing where he can howl and can go for like a really long time. So that's what they try to do, is they try to see which one of them can make him howl the longest.
That's a talent not everybody has.
No, and it's like, you know, it's like if they're dog whisperers.
Yeah.
But you know, I was watching them the other day when they were doing that, and I was like thinking, these are the kinds of things that I did when I was a kid. Like, you know, just a kid in the South Side with no game system, no Facebook, not a whole lot of other things. Like, what do you do to entertain yourself? Get your dogs to howl and have a contest. Yeah. And
I think when I was young, I was addicted to anthills. I was one of those troubled children just staring at an anthill. And, you know, kind of pretending I'm lording over this anthill. And I was the higher power of them. And well, that's a whole nother story and another show, and maybe another session I have to talk about.
That's like foreshadowing, isn't it? That's what they call that.
Exactly. So wow. Yeah. So I, you know, and Wendy and I, and I've done the show for many years, and I just have to say this, Wendy always gives me good prompts when it comes to let Dr. Stately talk about what he wants to talk about. So I'm going to give you the floor here for a few minutes, and if things slow down a little bit, I'll jump in. But what would you like to talk about today? I mean, we're running COVID ads here again, and it's not away. It's not gone, but we want to keep our people safe, and we also want to remind them that it's still around a little bit.
I was just thinking about that, in part because I was contacted by some folks. They want me to do some work with COVID, not COVID, you know, specifically, but like COVID and the things that are kind of surrounding COVID. And I think one of the things that's great coming off the conversation about the public health conversation, the award I got, but I think the other piece to it is that, you know, we have many more issues in our community than just COVID. COVID is just something that sort of like, I guess when I talk about it, I think like we have so many health concerns and health issues that we're dealing with in our community that when COVID sort of kind of showed up, it sort of like drew our attention away because of the magnitude of it, right? From this other stuff that was going on, like, you know, substance use, houselessness, some of that didn't go away because we had to figure out how to keep those people safe and well and get them services and support in the context of COVID. But COVID made just the work of everybody harder. And so one of the things I was talking with about this producer who we're going to do a show on something related to that, where I was talking about how I have, here we are, we're three and a half years to kind of, depending on the demarcation point that you all sort of pick, post-COVID, you know, the first time that it sort of kind of showed up, and life is a little bit different today than it was in 2020. And I think about, like, you know, I got sick and ended up in the hospital in November of 2020, during Thanksgiving week, and we're coming up on that anniversary, right? Or that, you know, that 3 year, you know, mark. And I think about like how much has happened and transpired in my work and in my personal life. All of the people who have sort of come into my life, all the people who have left my life because of the impacts of COVID and opioid overdoses and other forms of conditions that have caused people to die too young. We had many people die much sooner than their time because of this pandemic and its impact. And I was just reminded that I was reading this article a couple months ago about how, you know, for the first time since the 1950s, the United States is actually on a downward trend in terms of life expectancy, writ large for the entire country, right? And that has some real economic consequences, and that was the point of the article. But then I was thinking about all the loss that we had in our own community. The people in my own personal life that are no longer here because they passed during that period of time during COVID over the last couple of years. They might not have passed because of COVID. Maybe they passed, like my cousin Roxanne passed away from her liver cancer came back. It came back probably during the time of COVID when we weren't really going back to the doctor. We weren't getting our annual checkups. We weren't looking at like these chronic conditions and those kinds of concerns. And, you know, when her cancer came back, it came back with a vengeance, and she died within 7 days or so of going to see the doctor and finding that out. Right. And so as I was thinking back, like how much has different, I also think about like the way I show up in the public space, right? I forget that, you know, not forget, but it's not at the forefront of my mind with as much, clarity and criticalness that I need to, like, wear a mask in certain spaces and things like that. There's but I'll take social cues and triggers from the environment to remind me. Like recently I went to an event and I didn't have a mask with me, and then I looked around, there were several people wearing masks, and I was like, oh, I should wear a mask in this situation, right? So I went and asked for one and got it and put it on my face, right? We behave so differently now, 3 years in, than we did 2 or 3 years ago when we were at the moment of crisis. We kind of have become habituated to it in some ways.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. One tornado is confirmed and at least 8 others have been reported in the Chicago area. Lions Fire Chief Gordon Nord says the damage certainly appears to be due to a twister in his town.
We had the tree trying to be removed, looking at buildings here that had the roof taken off, and also a gas leak in the fire here.
Extreme heat warnings again stretch through much of the Southwest. National Weather Service meteorologist Tom Frieders is in Phoenix.
It looks like the peak of the heat looks to be coming in Friday through next Monday, and that's when a lot of records will be in jeopardy.
At the NATO Leaders Summit in Lithuania, the U.S. and other G7 countries announced a long-term framework to supply Ukraine with weapons and other military assistance in its war with Russia. History professor William Astor.
I see this as the Biden administration doubling down on war. They're going to keep sending tens of billions of dollars in weaponry, including weapons that we consider to be illegal when they're used by other countries.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISBRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I've been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening to Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Yeah.
back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, I do, and I love that tagline, fighting for climate justice. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately and kind of our weekly fireside chat, minus the fire and the side, but we are chatting here. And Dr. Stately, let's continue what you were talking about there, because I think me, as my regular job has really been in the last few months, really focusing on the things that we weren't focusing on that are kind of out of control right now with our opiate and homeless things that you were touching on and the mental health. And boy, our students are far behind too. And it's just, I had no idea that was going to happen. Not your phone ringing, but the other stuff.
Well, that too. No one ever calls me, unless I'm on in the middle of something.
Yeah, exactly.
I think one of the things that these are certainly things I experienced myself, but I do even know that, I have colleagues of mine who are instructors and teachers, parents I talk to, of my own friends. I hear the same story, very similar stories among many of them quite often, which is like, my kid really struggled in school. My kids are struggling with depression, the impact of isolation from having to not have social time with people. I think even my own, I think about how my own children, I was talking with somebody about this the other day, I forget what context we were in, how they were asking me about, like, this, I hadn't seen them in a few years, and like, how old are your kids? And I said, they're 16 now, they're going into junior high in the junior year of high school next year. And they were like, oh, well, how have they been? Because we haven't seen them. I said, well, the transition, because I think the last time I had seen them, they were like in fifth grade or just had gone into sixth grade and started their first year of middle school. And I said, we're talking about our kids' experiences of middle school and that transition and transition to high school. And then it dawned on me, like, with the timing of COVID, my kids had, COVID started at the end of their first year of seventh grade. I mean, the first quarter of seventh grade. So they had just moved from the year prior. They had just transitioned into middle school, which was a transition in and of itself, just trying to navigate that space, going from a smaller school, like a feeder schools, into like, a big elementary, where all of a sudden there's like five times the number of people that are in your school than you used to have to navigate, and having to navigate that social situation, which can be challenging for Native people. Even if they don't have prior to COVID, but then you have like how challenging it was to sort of do that, then go be out of school for a year and a half, do distance learning completely, which was so challenging for my children. Challenging for my children, and quite honestly, challenging for me. I thought I would lose my mind as a parent, trying to manage their capacity to be able to get on their Zoom, stay engaged, complete their homework, and that got even more problematic when they went into high school. Their first year of high school was the first year the pandemic sort of like was finally under control and they could go back in person. But by then they had done a year and a half of middle school all at home. So they had forgotten like how to go to class, find the classroom, actually, walk to the classrooms, move around, navigate that space, navigate relationships, and all these other challenges. And here they are in their first year of high school last year and trying to figure that all out in yet even a bigger school, because there's only one high school in Prior Lake. And then they have like, I think it's the second largest high school in the state. Mm. So they were like, it was challenging for them, it was challenging for me. And I just realized like, the last 2 years of that process has been just, you know, it certainly stretched the boundaries of our relationship as parent and child, right? There were moments where I was just like, you know, thank God I'm a child psychologist, because I could have, like, you know, showed up in that space differently. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I just was like, and finally one day I sat down with him not too long ago, and I just had a heart to heart with him. I was like, look, I need you to, you are young men, you're 16 years old. Technically, you're 2 years away from being adults. I need you to sort of like step up, take on a little bit more responsibility, and start sort of like challenging yourself to do things that are, that have habitually become harder for you to do because of this, the impact of all the things around us. Yes, mm-hmm. It's scary. I know it's scary that you, like, a big issue for us is driving. They don't want to drive. They want to get their license. They're scared. They're a little anxious and ambivalent, right? Seen a proliferation of carjackings and all those other things during the pandemic. So they're anxious, right? But I had to just have this conversation with him about, okay, what can we do to sort of mitigate some of that? Because I do need you to step up and become a little bit more independent. I can't drive you back and forth to school and drive around the state delivering you to hockey games and do my job and also be a dad and also do all these other things that I do. Mm-hmm. And so it's challenging. It has definitely been challenging for our kids, but it's been challenging for our parents in different ways as well. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only parent that had that experience.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you were talking about seventh grade to being a junior, but just think about that. The sixth graders mm-hmm. haven't had a regular year since they were in third grade, and on and on and on and mm-hmm. on, right?
Yeah, yeah. And just how a lot of things that we don't think about that are important is that socialization that happens in school. Like, you learn so much about, like, how to be a good relative, how to show up, how to navigate space, how to resolve conflict and differences. You do that through interaction, through social interaction, spending time and space with people. Right. And with the guidance of hopefully, you know, good mentors. Right.
Right.
That's how you learn that. And so, like, if we haven't been in that space for a while, and we're in a critical moments of our development, and I would say between the ages of 10 and 16 are really critical moments of development. We miss a lot of things, and I also think it's important for us to say, like, you know, I'm hard on myself because I have expectations that I should be able to do certain things in a certain way because I, like, you know, I'm a doctor and I'm this and I'm that and I'm this, I have this leadership role in our community and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I get a little bit hard on myself with my expectations. But I think probably every parent does that. Every parent, I think, feels naturally like I'm falling short, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a natural, I think, sort of like a feeling to have that. It's like, I could have done this better. I could be, and I think one of the things I want to say about that is that we have to be able to also cut ourselves some slack and recognize that, like, the work we were doing over the last 3 years as parents for kids who were in school or school age, or even just like trying to get them to, like, trying to get them to take care of themselves and feel safe and to feel, like, mm-hmm. you know, assured in a world that had, I mean, I think about, like, the things that my sons have seen over the last 3 years,
right,
that I certainly saw a lot of it over my lifespan as a young man growing up, but I didn't see the level of violence that happened after George Floyd murder and the uprising that happened as a result of that. I remember seeing it on television mm-hmm. As a kid. But it wasn't happening in my backyard. It wasn't happening all around me. Right. I didn't see the level of gun violence that's been happening in the last 3 or 4 years, the amount of, and then the horror of the pandemic, right? Of how frightening that was. I didn't have to be raised in my home as a child and watch my parent go off to the hospital and think that they weren't possibly coming back.
Right.
I only recently had that conversation with my kids. Like, what did that feel like? Were you scared? So those are like real things that impact people's mental well-being and their relational style and all those things. And, you know, we all have to be, you know, a little bit more compassionate with one another. And also self-compassion. I have to give myself a little bit of a break for not being, you know, the best dad on the planet.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting, too, that you mentioned earlier about your son's worried about getting carjacked. That is a thing. And I have a really close relative. Yeah. I don't want to mention her name, but she was carjacked. And there's a lot of trauma all around that. There's memories of the person that maybe was doing it because they were forced to, or they're in a gang, and they appear to be frightened, and so you have that, and you have a gun, and you know all these things. Is it a real gun? I forget that because I'm here, you know, hiding in my house half the time. That's a thing, you know.
It is a thing. I think the other part of that is like so hard. I mean, I can't imagine. Like, I don't remember my mom having conversations with me as a child about these kinds of things. Like, you know, be careful in these situations, be cautious here, you know, those kinds of things. I don't remember her saying things like, you got to be careful about deciding this or this, because you could end up having, you know, with your life threatened. We weren't having those conversations. But I think about like how the scale of some of our social problems that are happening in our community sometimes can make us feel like it's completely unsafe out there. So staying indoors, staying away from people feels like, right?
Yeah. Well, hey, Dr. Stately, really appreciate you coming in. It's great to see you. Maybe I'll see you Thursday at Four Sisters Flea Market. It'd be great to see you and give you a big hug.
And an Indian taco.
Oh, exactly. Hey, it was Dr. Stately, and stopping in and doing this thing. Appreciate you coming in today. This is Native Roots Radio Presents, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Attention, Native American community. We've come a long way in our fight against COVID-19. The emergency declaration may be over, but our responsibility to stay vigilant remains. It is crucial to remember that the virus is still among us, and we must continue to prioritize our health and the well-being of our loved ones and elders. Besides getting vaccinated, let's not forget the basics when we're around people who are still vulnerable to COVID-19. Wear your mask, wash your hands regularly, and take an at-home COVID-19 test if you have any symptoms. We've shown incredible strength and resilience throughout history, and we will triumph over this challenge as well. Let's honor our ancestors by taking care of one another and keeping our communities safe. Together, let's navigate uncertain times with courage and unity. Stay informed, stay safe, and remember that our actions today will shape a brighter future for our Native community. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Then we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Wow. That cat was, my cat over here was howling.
I know. We were missing Wanda.
Yeah. Wow. Great to check in with Dr. Stately and listening from the Governor Evers today. It was just really exciting. So, Haley, you've been to Four Sisters Market, which is right next to All My Relations Gallery, and the last show there was amazing with all that beadwork from the family, the dresses, the regalia, the men's clothes, the art on the wall with all those great beading and, porcupine, but, you know, all the needles that were in there. It was just beautiful. And now they're having a new opening this Friday, grand opening. And maybe you can summarize what you read earlier today about that. And it's on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis and on the corridor, the Native American corridor in Minneapolis on Franklin Avenue. And it's just worth coming by there, getting a cup of coffee and go in there and see this beautiful artwork that we have, that our Native brothers and sisters are doing.
Absolutely. So this new art exhibit that All My Relations Art is doing, presented by NACTI, is called Inde Wisagandam, which translates to My Heart Hurts. And this is a solo exhibition by Laura Youngbird. And this is going to be at All My Relations Arts the whole summer. I think this is going to be until September 9th is gonna, that'll be there until. But All My Relationships Arts aims to foster connections between contemporary American Indian artists, preceding generations, diverse audiences, and the vitality of the American Indian cultural corridor. Laura Youngbird is a talented artist from Minnesota Chippewa Grand Portage Band, and she uses the dress as a metaphor to address social issues, injustices, and biases. Her mixed media work includes drawing, painting, and prints that explore the deep layers of meaning within a simple garment, such as a dress. You can mark your calendars and explore this profound beauty and significance with Laura Youngbird's Inde Wisagandam, My Heart Hurts. Check out the opening reception this Friday, July 14th, from 6 to 8 at All My Relationships Arts in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. I always like to say All My Relationships, but it's All My Relations. Just relations.
You're having flashbacks from all the guys in you're dating in high school there.
All the many, many, many relationships.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But I know you've been there, and it's kind of a hidden gem right there, Haley.
It is. Yeah, I didn't know about that. So you kind of have to walk into Powwow Grounds,
which is the coffee shop. Yep.
Which is the coffee shop off of Franklin Avenue there in the cultural corridor. But yeah, definitely go check it out. The last exhibit moved me entirely. Mm. I could have stood in there for hours reading everyone's stories about their loved ones and their relatives and how they were being honored through art.
Yeah, inspirational. Yeah, very emotional and inspirational for sure. And they have that all the time. And I just want to say this too before I forget. It's, if you're driving down Franklin Avenue, it's on, I guess, the north side of the street, which would be the right side if you're heading towards Minneapolis. And it's a big yellow building, which they painted a few years ago. So it's a... And they have a nice, beautiful mural on the side, and it says Powwow Grounds. But there's a little parking lot there and also parking on the street. And if you're like me, a little sneaky across the street, too, in another parking lot. Also, too, I want to mention this, and this is what I was kind of alluding to when I talked to Dr. Stately, was that the Four Sisters Market is tomorrow. And
yes.
That's always good to hang out and see people. They have Dream of Wild Health, Wild Heart, and they're selling vegetables that are made in their garden. So go and support artists.
Edible Arts.
Yeah.
Edible Arts, and Simone will be out there, hopefully with her pine cone cookies, which I amazingly had the chance to try, and they were amazing a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, she's out there in that. Yeah, she's kind of a celebrity now. She's been on TV, and we had to beg her to come on, but it was a good time, and we'll have to get her on again when it gets close to harvesting time about what she's doing, because the edible arts there, too, it's the jams, mm-hmm. all these things that she's making, like yeah. the old way, you know?
And harvesting all herself, right. which is wild. It's so much work. I can't even imagine.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think it's not as much work as you think if you've been doing it and learned how to do it. So it's more of a lifestyle yeah. because she did say yeah. that's all she does now, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Great way. That's her job, and she's been doing well, and that's great. So what else is going on? I want to talk about this. This was in the Minneapolis paper, and I think I sent you this, Haley. Let me see if I can find it real quick. But it was in the Minneapolis paper, and maybe I sent it to myself. Let me look here. Where are you, Haley? There you are. I didn't send it to you, did I?
I don't believe so.
Here it is. It's Nebraska, which we have a lot of people from our family that's from Nebraska, that they're digging at a Native boarding school, and it continues. And archaeologists resumed digging Tuesday at the remote site of a former Native American boarding school in central Nebraska, searching for the remains of children who died there decades ago. You know, the search for a hidden cemetery near the, and it's Indian Industrial School, gained renewed interest after the discovery of hundreds of children's remains at other Native American boarding schools across the U.S. and Canada since 2021. It's just amazing that there are so many boarding schools out there that have these mass graves and treating our relatives in a bad way and dying there. I don't know if you know this, Haley, but my Gaga, which would be your great grandma, my grandma, Helen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember hearing a story that she was in a school, and that Howard McKee Jr., which is my great grandfather and your great great grandfather, went there and kidnapped her back. So, I mean,
wow.
Everybody
I think
has,
I have heard a little bit about that, actually.
Right. And everybody has, that's Native American, has some relative that is connected to boarding schools and things that we don't talk about, and it's hard for our relatives to talk about. And so we're still here, and we like to say that, you know. So, great show. Great to hear from Governor Evers, and also always great to hear from Dr. Stately. So I want to just let everyone groove on this new little music I'm playing here. So you've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And as always, free Leonard Peltier now.
So we pray through that we think of our loved ones. We wish for good.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM
WAUK.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.